But if we lay arm on it, that's good.
Now there's a Talmud.
Okay. Rashids? Any Rashids?
Okay, we're about to embark upon a major, major sugya. It starts off in the bottom of the base of a base, but very, very quickly takes us to a grand tour throughout Shas. It's one of the really fundamental, all sugyas are fundamental in Yusaitis, but this is just one of those very, very, very significant sugyas that touch on so many, so many different principles in halacha. So it all starts on the very bottom of base of a base. Let's get ourselves back into the swing of things. Where the Gemara is discussing the necessity for the din of Tzarech Shem Fainech and Fainechtam, and how it even solves whatever the problem was. So the entire Shia is now working in the world view of Rava. Do not worry, we are going to spend hopefully equal time for Rava and Sugya is coming ahead of us. But right now we're still in the world of Rava. If you remember from before Yom Tov, so the entire discussion of Inech and Bisurin was all in the world of Rabbah. And Rabbah's going to have what to say. Don't worry, Shtaros, Inech and Bisurin, Shtar, Tanas Mazuyavet. There's plenty to talk about Rabbah also, but we're still within the very ends of the Shiraim of Rabbah. But the problem was, and Issev had the problem. The problem was the kashrus of the get, because the get perhaps was not written Lashma. So the Gemara says, Abba Zoy, if you're really worried that the get really truly was written Lashma, so then you should require two Adim to prove that it was. So the Gemara started to think that, well, maybe the wheels of the Chazal were turning, maybe Edechen and Bisurin, and the Gemara took us on a five-sugya detour as to whether Edechen Bisurin is correct here, whether it's applicable here, and it's against the Chazal, because the Dover should be every, you need both, you need one, is the Dover should be I ain't pre-Rosh Hashanah, okay, pre-Yom Kippur. So finally, the Gemara on the bottom of the base says, so what's the emissary answer to this question according to Rabbi, how you get away with one aid? So the Gemara says, Drulon, so the bottom, Rel Biki and Hain. That the answer is that this is not really a Suffolk Bina Torah. That Bina Torah, there's nothing to worry about, because although you know we're quick to point a finger at the Sofer and Chutz Laretz, but truth to be told, the Gemara says it's really only a small amount. And the emissary says that Rove people are writing Gittin. And Chutz La'aretz probably do know the Dinner of the Shema. They probably did learn the Torah Brach of the Shemot Gittin. They do know the Drash of Chutz La'aretz. They accept the Drash of Benetam. I mean, they really are on our team. Except not everybody. And therefore, Chazal will worry. Now, Minat Torah doesn't like to worry about. But yes, Moshe Rabbeinu has nothing to worry about. Because Minat Torah, you follow Rove. Rove like all other areas of Halacha. Rabatus, you follow Rove. So Rove people are in Papaki in the Shema. But with the Rabbanon, we're a little bit weary about this. So therefore, mid the Rabbanon, we require a proof of a fine nechah, fine nechah. But since the requirement for the proof is only the Rabbanon requirement, the general rule in Halacha is that a problem the Rabbanon warrants a solution of the Rabbanon. A problem the Raisa requires a solution mid the Raisa. So the Amiras Enechot say fine nechah, fine nechah is only a solution mid the Rabbanon. That's very good, because the problem is only a problem in the Rabbanon in the first place. So everything is great. So the Gemara would just stop at that point. So Robikin Hain, and we would just put period finish. We could actually begin to learn Shtaros and thought of Gimel Aleph and talk about Reb Chaim's and about the Das Mischayim's and Appeal of Pik Sava. We'd have so much to talk about, and hopefully we will get to that. Hang in there, but we're not there yet, because the Gemara doesn't give up. The Gemara never gives up. Chazal never give up. Every single point and every single nuance has to be understood and put under the microscope. And the Gemara has the following comment. V'afil Rabbi Meir, oy gavald kashrigim Rabbi Meir, the Heilige Tana Rabbi Meir is going to cause problems for us. Why? Because Rabbi Meir is the chayesh lebiuta. Rabbi Meir held that we don't follow Rav. Rabbi Meir says you have to be chayesh for miyutz. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, we have a real bona fide problem. So what's the solution according to Rabbi Meir? Now again, you could have simply said, Mishnah, no, Rabbi Meir does hold Mishnah. Come on, it's a joke. It's a farce. Rabbi Meir stop Mishnah's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir doesn't hold for Nechma. It's ridiculous. So the Gemara is put itself into a corner and says, even according to the Heilige Tana Rabbi Meir, who generally doesn't rely on Rose, Rabbi Meir will accept our sugya here. He also will basically give the same halach as we said according to the Rabbanan. Why is that? Because stop suffering the dynamic magamire. Because of this following statement, stop suffering the dynamic magamire. I don't even know how to translate the word stop. Stop. Hey, just stop. Mistama, right? Mistama. Mistama, the Dayanim who are writing the Gittin are up to par. So clearly what the Gemara means is that this is better than what we just said before. We just said before, the flow of the Gemara was Robikinim, and therefore everything's solved, everything's hunky-dory min ha-Torah. According to our mayor, everything is nishkin hunky-dory because he's chashish l'miyot. The Gemara says, no, according to our mayor, everything's back to being hunky-dory again. Why? Because of this magical principle called Stam Sifri Dedain and making mirrors. Obviously, this next statement of the Gemara must be much more powerful than the previous statement, because the previous statement got us into a problem, according to our mayor, and this is getting us out of the problem. So we have no idea what the difference between last line and this line is, but that's a whole other angle of the sugya. And the punchline is, Rabbanu di Atzruch, since even according to Rabbi Meir, this deep dark mystery, this deep dark secret of Stam Tzaf in the dining solves the world's problems, therefore even according to Rabbi Meir, the requirement is only mit the Rabbanan, and therefore, therefore, since the problem is in the Rabbanan, a problem, the solution by it can be a Rabbanan different solution. So the basic flaw of the Gemara is really twofold. That according to the Rabbanan, the problem was solved with the simple statement of Rove. According to Rabbi Meir, not such a big believer in Rove, at least to some degree, we had to touch it up a little bit. The Stam Sefer the Dining Big Agree. So that's pretty much the flow of the Gemara. Everyone got it? Who here read this Gemara? Who has any idea what the Gemara is talking about? Okay, so we're going to use this Gemara as a springboard. But before we jump into the air, fall down flat on our faces, let's just make sure we have a couple little basic pieces of information accurate. Who was Rabbi Meir and who were the Rabbanan? I don't mean, what Rabbi Meir looked like and what he ate for breakfast. I mean, what did Rabbi Meir say that led us to believe that somehow he's not a big believer of Rov? And what did the Chachamim say that leads us to believe that they are the big believers of Rov? So Rashi makes a quick reference to the sugya in Maseches Yevamos, which is the original source of the Machlekes Rabbi Meir. Machlekes ran around the following case. You have a little girl who's married. She can be married in the Torah. If her father married her off, since she's married with the Raisa. And then what happens? Her husband dies. They don't have any children. And she falls for Yibum. So she's 8 years old. So she just fell for Yibum. She can do the Yibum Chalitza. So the question is, which one of either of those two can she do? So one of those two procedures is out of the question. What is that? Chalitza. Why is Chalitza out of the question? Not clear why Chalitza is out of the question. So actually what the Gemara does say in Maseches Yevamos is that if the brother who's going to try to do chalitza as a katan, that's for sure out of the question. But in the Torah, why? Because it says, "In lo yachbot ha'ish." Ish is the ma'at is a katan. So there's no question under the sun that a katan cannot be the chalitza. He cannot be the man to do chalitza. That's a divin Torah. Belishum sofek. That's exeris nakosim. A posik, not a shallow whatsoever. Anyone know what the problem with that did? There's only one problem with that did.
That's
for
the late.
Oh, well, before we even get to the lady. What's the problem with that din? Vimlaya, what's the problem with that? There's only one problem. You know what the problem is? Why do we even need a pasuk for it? Any Tom, Dick, and Harry could have figured it out on his own that a katan can't do chalitza. You know why? Because when you do chalitza, you have to have kavana. You have to have, I said kavana, you said das. Okay? You have to have, according to Reb Chaim, those are two different religions, they're two different worlds. So the din is that you require kavanas Hayavim Kavanah say Yevama for the Chalitza Bichal. So Frektais of Bam Kashim and Sechs Yevamas. Wait a second. Why don't you need a pasuk to tell me a katan can't do Chalitza? Isn't it obvious if he's a Labar Kavanah, he's a Labar Das? So the answer to that question, you have to wait till hopefully, I'd say about March time, towards the middle of the second paragraph. Okay? So hang in there for the answer to that question. That's not a sugi right now. Then the Gemara goes one step further, quotes of Machalik Zetanoim. Do we compare Ish al Ish? Do we say that just as Ilo Yachbot's a Ish, that a katan can't do chalitza, so to a katana can't do chalitza. So we pass in that a katana cannot do chalitza. We pass it's a din. It's a question that the rice, the rabbanim, the mice, the bottom line is that a katan, a katana cannot do chalitza. So forget about chalitza, who's going to do chalitza now? Yibum. Let the 8-year-old girl do yibum. What's the problem? What could possibly go wrong? She's Ru'i Labiya, she's over the age of 3. So the Halacha Rishonim says that Maisa Biya is called the Maisa Biya. So what's wrong? So he's 13 years old. And she's 8 years old. That's a 5-year difference. That's a bit shit. So why? Let them just get married and try and do Yibum together. That's a big deal. So you know what the Chacham said? Because of that, do Yibum. That's exactly what the Chacham said. Enochinami. Let them do Yibum. Right? Enochinami. And Rabbi Meir says, no, they can't do Yibum. You know why? Who knows why? Why can't they do Yibum? She may be an islandess. An islandess is a very, very unique situation where a woman cannot have children, not just because stop, can't have children, stop. She can't have children, her whole body is not anatomically built properly to be able to enable her to have children. So she's a woman, halachli, she's a woman, but lemaisa, she doesn't have the physical ability to have children. So that's a unique status in islandess. So there is a din that an islandess is not really lekach to have yibum chalitza. There's no zika on an islandess. For that matter, if you have, let's say you have a man, there's a sris to a man, it's like an islandess to a woman. The sris is something physically, anatomically, something didn't develop properly in his body. So he cannot do yibum, and he doesn't do chalitza either. Why? Because the Torah says, v'yibach ha-shmem Yisrael. The whole point of the yibum and chalitza is to bring about children. So the whole psukim can speak about the whole goal of this yibum is to get children. If either the man or the woman is not shayach to do yibum, I'm sorry, is not shayach to have children, so then the whole parish of yibum, whole parish of chalitza, there's no zika whatsoever. So let's say, luyutsuy, an islandess falls for yibum, and we know that she's an islandess, she goes free. She doesn't need yibum, doesn't chalitza. Let's say she went ahead and did yibum when she wasn't supposed to. What's so terrible? What's the answer? What's so terrible? What's so terrible about you doing yibum when you're not supposed to yibum? You don't have to yibum. Yeah, it's a right. It's a small technicality. It's eishes ach shlo b'chol mitzvah, this occurs. Okay? So anytime you have an eishes ach shlo b'chol mitzvah, that's a little bit of this because it's a famous story.
The brother's dead.
Eishes ach does not disappear with death. No, the only yes that goes disappears with death is achas ishtay, not eishes ach or eishes ishtay. Okay, eishes ach is in full form, full bloom, full issachars. There's a famous story about Reb Chaim Eliezer that Reb Chaim Eliezer was once traveling somewhere on Friday, he got stuck on the road, he had to pull into this little shtetl, it's been Shabbos, a little hick town somewhere, and somebody came over to him on Shabbos and said, Rebbe, you know, such a schos, we have such a big rabbi here for Shabbos with us. I was about to get married soon. It would be such an honor if you'd be Masada Kedushin for me. So after Shabbos, Chaim Eliezer was talking to the man a little bit, and the man explained to Reb Chaim Eliezer, he said, you know, I had a brother who died, and he left left some a couple of babies, little children, and I feel like I could help out. I'm the uncle, like I could, you know, I'll marry his wife. I could raise the children and help out. It's a chorus. It's one of the riots. I mean, so now he understood why his wagon broke down on Friday afternoon. He wouldn't have been in this town, so nobody, probably there was no rabbi in town, whatever it was. Nobody knew enough to know. It's a pasuk chumash. You're not allowed to marry Eishes Achim. So bottom line is, so we definitely do not want to have a Yibum here. So come the rabbanon and say, the girl's 8 years old. She's an islandess. Why in a million years would you think she's not? She looks like a nice, healthy girl. She's in third grade. She's playing, you know, playing during gym. It looks okay. And Rabbi Meir says, you don't know. Because the Gemara says in Yevamos, you never really know whether someone's an islandess until they turn 12. When they start to turn 12 and they don't develop properly, and then they start to develop other kinds of simanim that are indicative of this status of islandess, you can't make the call whether someone's an islandess until much later in life. For stress also, you can't tell whether 9, 10, 11-year-old boys are stress. It's going to take till the teenage years to figure out whether they're stress or not. So comes where Meir says there's always an outside chance that this girl may be an islandess that we don't know about. And that would be a terrible, terrible thing if she did Yibum then. It won't be Yibum, it'll be an Issa Karis. So therefore, the mayor says, a cup and a tata cannot be Yibum. You have to put it on hold till the age 13 or 12 till we can ascertain what's going on. And the rabbi said, what are the, come on, go check it there. Ask the doctors, what are the odds that someone's an islandess? Well, I have to be in the elephant, who's an islandess today? So since the odds are the person's not an islandess, yeah, it's okay, you can rely on the rabbi, the mahatis. So the Gemara yanks out that much like his remainder abundant out of the deep dark forest at the end of Maseches Yevamos. This is like the end of the end. Where is this? I put the Kufi test part on. Rashi quotes this Gemara from where? From me, it's also Kufi test. It's also in Kufi test. It's a little bit earlier also. It's in the backwoods of Yevamos. I remember when I was once I had this, a fellow was telling me once, he said he was learning Yevamos. He was in the backwoods. It was like before Daf Yomi became a big thing. He was in the back woods of Yom HaMashiach. He was drowning already. He was long gone. And he once had a fascinating time. He said, you know, the sugyas that I'm learning, the last people who were here were Tosfos. It's not exactly true. Shesh Maizov, a few other people in the Rav Kivega, there are people who are in the backwoods of Yom HaMashiach even before the Fiyami, but it was really, really the back of the backwoods. So Gemara dug up this Bachalekis from a man, the Rabbanon, and said, this machlokes is a shas machlokes. This is not a yivamis machlokes. This is a din klali. This is not a din prati. This is a din klali. This is something that that mamish impacts on kol tarkula. So comes the Gemara here and makes reference to that machlokes and says that the Rabbanon, who were the big believers in Rov, so they were believers in Rov and Yavamas, and they're believers in Rov and Gittin, and therefore they would have no problems with having somebody relying, we'd have no problems relying on the fact that Rov, Gittin are written the Shema. But according to Rabbi Meir, who's a Cheshish Lemiut, so just as Rabbi Meir is Cheshish Lemiut and doesn't let you do Yibam on the one in a million chance that this girl's an ironist, so too Rabbi Meir is not going to rely on the Rov of that the Get was written the Shema. And therefore, he has a huge problem. And therefore, we have to come on to Stam Dayani, which again, we have no idea what that means, how that solves any problems whatsoever. That's the flow of the Gemara. So, we didn't do anything today. 15 minutes, we just scrolled the Gemara. Your mom is plugged into getting intro. So now we have to start thinking a little bit. So, today is Rabbi Meir's day. I do not think we're even going to discuss the view of the Rabbanan yet today. If we do, it only be to kind of give a little bit of understanding to Rabbi Meir, but today is really Rabbi Meir's day. Even though we don't possibly think Rabbi Meir, first of all, you have to understand everything that Rabbi Meir said. The Gemara says that Meir, we really should have passed like Rabbi Meir all the time. Rabbi Meir was the Gaon Shemagoyim, he was the Gaon Hador, but La'amdu Aldaita, the Chacham just couldn't even understand the Shittas, was so mechudish, he was such a Gaon Olam that they couldn't understand him. So they couldn't understand him. He can't pass, we don't understand. The Gemara says, but in terms of the Havanas of Torah, there was no one like Rabbi Meir in his generation. So Rabbi Meir says, Rechayshish from Yud. So I have a cash. I have something that's very, very troublesome to me. Guys, we were in my shiur last year, the year before, no one's bothering me. What did Rabbi Meir do in Parshat Mishpatim exactly? When the Balkur got to, Lo Saneh al Rev, Lintos, Achar Rabim Lahatos. So Rabbi Meir didn't read those words? His Balkur skipped those words. Zapasi Chumash Achar Mahatis. You don't follow Rabbi. No one thought about that question? So the easiest way out of this problem is very, very simple. The easy, the cinch way out of this problem is to say, you're right, midaraisa, avada Rabbi Meir follows Rova. What's the shot? Of course Rabbi Meir follows Rova midaraisa. The whole machlek is Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. Lock, stock, and barrel is on the level of the Rabbanan. Rabbi Meir felt that although in that Torah we could follow Rov, mid the Rabbanan we really should be following Rov. And therefore, he made a chumah mid Rabbanan not to rely on Rov, b'cheshish l'miyot, and he made that chumah by Yavamas, and he made that chumah by Gittin. And the Rabbanan said, "Dish by Yavamas, dish by Gittin." Rabbanan say, "We don't have to be so from. We don't have to be from then the Kaddish Baruch Hu's Torah." Torah Kaddish says, "It's mutter, it's mutter." Finished. So that's the easiest way out of the problem.
Why isn't that about Tigra?
Why is it about Tigra?
I mean, the Torah says that you should follow Rov.
Yeah. I don't think you mean about Tigra. I think you mean like. Maybe you do mean about Tigra. I'm sure you mean. You mean like the Torah says something's mutter, like Mechatei said that. Where? Well, I'll turn the question on you. Okay. Does the Torah say you're allowed to write with your left hand on Shabbos? Yeah. Because the Torah says, L'saske b'locha. B'locha means dech, b'locha, kadecha, mishkan. If you write with the left hand, they didn't write in the mishkan with the left hand. So the Torah, the Maisa says, you're allowed to write with your left hand on Shabbos. But the Mishnah says, but the Rabbani not allowed to. Right? So you're asking a much better kasha than you even realize. Your kasha is, here the Torah says that the Feirush, it's mutter. But there's no poskah that says v'dav Hashem v'shleba you could write with your left hand. It's just everything is mutter to prove an osur. So since writing with your left hand is not called kiderach malachas hamishkan, so the mele it's mutter. It's mutter because by default it's mutter. You're asking if the Torah says b'fesh or b'hatas be'echad things you can make a din derabon, right? That's what you meant to ask.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Good. So that you were mechavet to the Taz's kasha. So the Taz has this. You said in a few places that whenever the Torah says something is black and white, totally mutter, the chum cannot answer it. So that's a very, very good question. Hang on to the kasha. That's a very, very good question. So the simplest way out of our dilemma, putting aside your kasha, the simplest way out of our dilemma is how could Rabbi Meir deny Pasuk Chumash? The answer is, it doesn't deny Pasuk Chumash. Amen. Kasha Lamayim says, it's Dindirabon. That's the easiest way out. But if one doesn't want to go down that route, if one wants to have your cake and eat it, you want to stick to Rabbi Meir as really being a Dindiraisa, is Rabbi Meir really against the Pasuk Chumash? Beinenu. What's the pasuk talking about? Come on. What? It's so about three dayonim. We have a latest asofek, whether the guy broke the window or not. Two out of three said he did. One said he didn't. So the odds are he probably did. So he passed in his chayef. So comes the Gemara Maseches Chulin and says that just as the Parash of Echarem Lahatis in Dayanim tells me when you have a latest asufik, so you follow what you think the odds are. The odds are it's probably X. So we can extrapolate to there from there and say if you have a piece of meat that falls in the on the floor, it's in between 10 stores. 10 of them are selling kosher. One of them is selling treif. You can eat that meat in a Torah. Why? Because the odds are it came from the kosher store. So that, what I just described to you as rov, is a perfect replica of Acharam Mahatas of Beis Din. Now again, Beis Din is talking about, Acharam Mahatas in the Pasuk is talking about three people. It's talking about this latest asafik in terms of halacha. And this is talking about three stores or 10 stores, or latest asafik in terms of Metzias. So there are differences. One is people, one is stores, one is kashrus, one is didimuminis, one is a suffocate halacha, and suffocate. Those are all true. All those differences are correct. All those distinctions are true, but what? Irrelevant. Because fundamental concept of following the rov when there's a piece of meat on the floor is identical to following the rov of Dayanim. And that is what the Gemara coins the famous phrase in the beginning of Masechus Chulin called the Ruba de what? That's what's called the Ruba de Isa Kaman. Very simply, Kishma Kenu, the rov is in front of us. I can count the Dayanim. There's Rabbi Cohn, Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Israel, Rabbi Jacobson, Rabbi Stein. I count all these are all the Dayanim. Here's the stores. There's Dougies, there's Chickies, there's, there's Yala. What, Yala? What, that was called Yala. That was mixed up. Nala's the high school and Yala's the restaurant. I don't know which is which. Okay. So you have all the stores here, and then a piece of meat, and there's the Caribbean store that closed. It became a fish store. It became a tray for fish store. So they had it in for me. So basically, probably somewhere in town there's a tray for store somewhere. So the Gemara says the chul, those two cases are identical. Nobody would ever argue that. But then the Gemara has a big jump. And the Gemara says, okay, that's the source that you follow Ruben the Isakaman. Ruben the Leisakaman and Animili. How do you know you follow Ruben the Leisakaman? What's an example of Ruben the Leisakaman? Give me a good example. Rov Nashim or the Tess Yaldur. Or Rob Hamas and Trafus. How do I know I can drink a cup of milk? How do you know? Maybe the animal has a hole in the stomach. How do you know? So you follow Rov. How do I know? I shucked an animal. I don't have to take the animal apart and give it a whole CAT scan and take every single, do a whole autopsy on the animal. I can assume it probably is okay. Except for the lungs, that's a chumrah, nothing else. So how do you know you follow Ruben the Lasik? But there, it's not that we counted up animals. Imagine, we went around to every single animal in the world and we took a tally and we said, give me a good name for a cow.
Bessie.
So we looked at Bessie. Bessie looks okay. Give me another. Give me Bessie's friend, or cousin.
Lassie.
Lassie's a dog. Okay. Bessie. Lassie. Schmessie. Passie. Wessie. Go to each one. That's not what we did. Well, let's say Rove, Noshim, Latessi, Alban, right? Most women give birth. What does that mean? We lined up all the women in all the maternity wards throughout the world. So we went to Shari Tzedek Hospital the day after Yom Kippur. There are 1,600 women giving birth. So why did you give birth the day after Yom Kippur? Everyone knows this.
The fasting
the day before. So there was a study that was done in Shari Tzedek Hospital years ago. But this is where they realized that fasting can bring on birth. That was only done. You only do it in one place in the world. You only do it in Shari Tzedek. So I was talking to a from OB of Cholamoid. So he said to me, yeah, totally, total from the population. So day after Yom Kippur, 7 deliveries. Knocked them all off. Easy does it. Okay. So we went around to every single woman in labor and asked her, so tell me, are you in your 9th month or in your 7th month? Nah, nope, does that. That's called the Ruben Delay. We look around, we see. Women are generally in the 9th month. Once in a while you hear, ooh, the woman went. Can you imagine? You hear a woman give birth at the end of the 9th month. You don't hear oohs and ahs as well. You hear somebody. Did you hear she gave birth in the beginning of the 7th month? Like, Gevalt, how's everyone doing? They start to tilm chains. Everyone's, 9th month, that's normal. So we know life has expected, it has told us, that life experience has told us that generally women give birth in the end of the 9th, in the 9th month. So those are what's called Ruben de Leisik Kaman. So the Gemara is a Shaila and Chulin. How do you know Ruben de Leisik Kaman? How do you know such a principle? That is not the same as a Acharam Mahatas. So here the Gemara draws this important distinction for us. The distinction that one is animal, one is people, one is a suffering halacha, one is suffering metzias, one is kashrus, one is didimuminis, those are all differences that are true but irrelevant. The only difference that's relevant, that the Gemara actually thinks is significant, is that one's Ruben the Isik one, Ruben the Leisik one, the Gemara gets it stuck. How do you know? There's a principle called Ruben the Leisik one, the Chlat. So the Gemara turns the world upside down. Anyone know any Makairis? The Gemara has 16 different possible Makairis, everyone is the Gemara rejects. A rife make a roof, rife paradu, rife keep rabe, rife mach avi, rife. And finally, the Gemara throws the answer, we don't have a mokor. By God, there's no mokor. So the Gemara comes crashing down at the end. Finally, Rashi, when the Gemara fails us, Rashi comes to the rescue. What does Rashi say? We spoke about it 16 times in Chulin. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, the end of the day, Reich Lesiko, we do follow Rabbi Delaysa, come on. Everybody knows we follow Rabbi Delaysa, come on. What? Rashi has two pshatim. Two solutions. One Rashi says, when everything else fails, we know it's true. We have Mishnayos, we have Gemara, we have Rabbi Delaysa, come on, it must be Allah Hashanah. What's the problem with this Rashi? We have no record of this Halacha Mishnah anywhere. The Gemara never tells us Halacha Mishnah. The Gemara calls it Halacha Mishnah. Rashi said that must be the Maskaras of Gemara. And then Rashi gives another pshat. What does Rashi say? The Eidei Shleimer. What? Yeah. Rashi says in the second pshat that guess what? That distinction between Isa and Leisa, we thought it was true but relevant. You know what it just became? We just added an I and R in front of it. What is it? It's true but irrelevant. The Gemara realized, we're backpedaled and say, you know what? What's the difference? Isa Gemara, Leisa Gemara, it's all the same thing. What's the difference? And therefore, the ultimate source for Leisa Gemara is from Achra Matas. So, Tupshop and Rashi when all the dust settles in the city. Rabbi said, why are we talking about this? Because we're trying to understand Rabbi Meir Shita. So, we know for a fact that Rabbi Meir went on record as telling us that I don't follow Rav. I am a Mr. Miut, I'm a Cheshish the Miut person. Rabbi Meir said it, therefore Katan and a Katana can't do Yibum. And the Gemara borrowed Rabbi Meir and Gittin Abbez and said, if it would have only been a Rove, that Rove Gittin al Lishma, that would not have sufficed for Rabbi Meir, that would not have made Rabbi Meir comfortable. The Gemara had to solve it with another answer, Stam Danavia, which we don't even know what that means. But Rove alone, right? Everyone read Gittin with me? Abbez Abbez, Rove Gittin doesn't solve the problem according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi said, these roves that the Gemara is describing within the Sheet of Rabbi Meir, both the original source of Rabbi Meir and Yevamos, as well as the application in Gittin. What kind of roves are these? What? These are Leisa Kamanos. The case of rove girls are not animuses. We counted up every woman in the world and we said, oh, we have 400,000 women who are not animuses and we have three who are. That's what happened? No. We look around the world. There's a woman islandess. Once in a wild blue moon, you have a woman never comes to, she's diagnosed being an islandess. How often does that happen? Well, let's see over here. Rove Gittin written Lishma. We sat down and we questioned every single person who ever wrote a Gittin in his life. No, we look around, we see that most people who are writing Gittin are pretty good. Most people learn Masechet Gittin. The guy at least learned the Beis. The guy's writing a Gittin. The guy's sitting on the Beis and forgetting. He didn't even learn the Beis yet. What did he learn? What? Mistabla, I don't mean stabla like stabla, the Gemara. Robikide, most people, take a show of hands here. And who here knows that the din of a get requires lishma? Who here knows that? Good, okay, so most people know that. Okay, most people know that. If you don't know that by end of October, you
could really. If it started to count, Rabbi, when would it switch over?
We're never going to count. There's certain things that I chadal the spork ein mispar. Who's counting when I'm counting people?
I'm saying
it's not even a counting. It's not that we're lazy to count. It's not a robe that lends itself to a count. It's not a dover ha'amil lefanein.
It's not that chazal at some point.
Counting? Nah. There's no survey when anything. Chazal wasting their time doing social work surveys. Man. Come on. When you look at the world. The world is obvious. Certain things are poshut. Certain things are just obvious statements of fact. Okay. So, if that's the case, then we may be able to salvage Rabbi Meir and put him back into the world of Deraisas. Why? The Yolam Rabbi Meir also read Parshas Achra Matas. And Rabbi Meir accepted the concept of Ruba the Issa Kamon in full force. And therefore, Rabbi Meir would concede if you have 10 stores, Sali Kosher, 1 store, Sali Jefa, and the Mina. No, everything's hunky dory. Minotaur, everything's great. Rabbi Meir parts ways with the Rabbanon. On their application of Rove to Ruba the Lasik one. Rabbi Meir says, I don't follow Ruba the Lasik one. Min HaTorah, I don't follow it. I'm Cheshish the Mi of Midda Araisa. Because either, I don't, never heard of that halacha Moshe Sinai, that Rashi claims, the Rabbanan claimed existed. Or, I ultimately think that the distinction between Isa and Lasa is relevant, the true and relevant. So it's very possible that the Nekudas HaMachlekes, the Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon, is on a level of Deraisa about one of two possible points. Either they're arguing about, is this Halacha Moshe Sinai exist or not? Or they're arguing about, there is no Halacha Moshe Sinai, everything is hinging on Achra Matas, But whereas the Rabbanan had no qualms at the end of the day of extrapolating from Isa to Blesa, Ramea says, no, that which you thought was a relevant distinction, Taka's but it remains a relevant distinction. So we have three ways of understanding what the Nekudas Machlokes is. We're sitting back 2,000 years later trying to analyze Ramea and the Rabbanan. So we know for a fact the Ramea and the Rabbanan argued about one case. There's only one case we have on record that they argued about. That was in the backwoods of Maseches Yevamos, the Katan and the Ketana. Who would have ever thought a crazy, wild Mishnah in a case, crazy, once in a billion years ever going to happen? That becomes the source of the whole Machlokes Ramea and the Rabbanan. Then we have Baruch Hashem Fekin Daveis. The Gemara extrapolated Ramea and the Rabbanan and plugged it into the Yevamos. Rashi says, Ayin Yevamos Kufyutes. So it's the same Shiloh. So we have three ways of understanding it. What is the point of contention between Ramea and the Rabbanan? Could it be that Min HaTorah, they all read everything the same? Min HaTorah, all robes are good. And the concept of Inklesh Lamiyot is purely a figment of our imagination with the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Meir. And the Rabbanan say there is no need to make such a din the Rabbanan, maybe because it's against the Pasuk Chumash, whatever reason the Chum didn't want to make that din the Rabbanan. So that would take the Machlokes Ramea and the Rabbanan and put it into a very, 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 very limited scope. Everyone agrees to all the rules with their Isa, and they're fighting about one a quirk with the Rabbanan. Or no, they're fighting on the love of their Isa. Im Kain, they're fighting on the love of their Isa. What do you mean? That's a joke. We're fighting Ramea denies Rav Lagamre, it can't be its Pasuk Chumash. Either Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan are fighting about the existence or lack thereof of a new Halach of Sina, Rashi claims exists, or they're arguing about whether Isa and Lesa are close enough in nature to derive one from another. Okay, so everyone realizes that, right? We just when we read the ABCs of the Beis and Mesa Gittin, that those are three possibilities within the world of Rabbi and the Rabbanan. I don't want to tell what the Rishonim say about this topic, actually. We've been philosophizing for 40 minutes. So this Nekuda, whether Rabbi Meir Shita is a Derais Tika Shita or a Derabban Tika Shita, is actually a major Machlekes HaRishonim, and both groups of Rishonim brought the Raya from the identical Gemara. Very strange thing, that usually when you have like a Machlekes HaRishonim, very often it will be the Gemara, there's a Gemara here, there's a Gemara there, I'm trying to figure out how to make sense of the Gemara. There's one Gemara. It all revolves around how to read this one line of the Gemara, and the exact same line that one group of Rishonim brought a Raya from, the other group of Rishonim brought the Raya from the same line, the exact opposite. So what's that line? So it's a tricky Gemara in the fourth of the Ramah. Let's see if we can read a little bit. Okay. So it's one of the, it's actually the last of the attempts to try to bring a Raya from something in Tosha B'Chsav to Ruben the Lakes to come on. So Rav Ashi Yom Asim Ishchita Atzma. Rav Ashi, Mamash, it's not Ruch HaKedish. Rav Ashi is sitting to be Spanish, they're sitting, you know, 300-400 years, after remain in the Rabbani. And we're trying to figure out, Menoha Mils Dem Rabbani Zubasa Rubo, where does Rav Vishtei Ruv the Leisa come on? And Rav Ashi says, I'll tell you what, it's a Pasuk of Pashas Re'ei. Vishtei of Pashas Re'ei. The Torah says Shchita. The Torah gives a Pashas Ben Shchita. It's a Mitzah Shchita. It's a Din of Shchita. There happens to be a halacha that if an animal has a hole in its esophagus, in its veshet, that's one of the simanic treifas. Happens to be the first mission, elu treifas, nekuvas haveshet. First one, nekuvas haveshet, was a gerah, nekuvas haveshet, a hole in the esophagus, even a small hole in the esophagus is a treifa. Except for the Gemara, you take a knife and you shecht an animal, and now you're about to eat the animal, and you take a look and you say, oh, by golly, it's got a humongous hole in its esophagus. Nincompoop, who made the hole? You just made the hole. You just shechted it, right? 1 second, not so poshut. How do you know there wasn't a hole before? How would you ever know whether there's a hole? You want to tell me we're going to open up the animal now, we're going to open up its stomach, there's no hole in the stomach, there's no hole in the liver, there's no hole in the brain, there's no hole in the intestine. You go to all, the only one you can never say with certainty is what? Hole in the esophagus, because you just made a hole in the esophagus. So how can you have a shech to eat animals? It's not kashaf to rebbeinu shel tehillah geter. State the delegate of Zavatkash, it's Vizikh the Pasha for Nshchita, and there's a din of Bosom of Son of Trefus, and there's a din for Trefus. And what did Allah Mashi, the Trefus, and Kubis Haveshet? So, how could the Torah ever say, go ahead and Shecht? How would you ever know when there's a hole there? You guys would have thought of that one, right? Zevin for know what do you see from here? What is the matter to eat meat? What's the answer? Rove, the odds are most animals don't have holes in their esophaguses. Did we count it out? No, we did not do a veterinarian survey and sent out and count of Bessie, Schmessie, and Lassie. We just look around, we see it doesn't look to us like most animals have holes in their esophagus. Most animals look pretty good, look pretty healthy, eating pretty nicely. The food's not coming out the middle of the tube. So we assume that most animals don't have holes in their esophagus. That's a Ruba de Lesikamar. So Rav Ashi saw on that parasha from Shechita, the din of Ruba de Lesikamar. I ask you, that doesn't board on Ruach HaKadosh. It's unbelievable to be able to see that. Yeah.
Is it rove that most animals don't have holes, or is it that rove, the odds are that when you shecht it, it's the knife is still...
Yeah, I'm saying the odds are...
The odds... You cut through that hole.
You know what I'm saying? The only thing that would pose that, the rest of the esophagus we can look at. You know, esophagus is a big thing. We can look at the esophagus. The chashash is maybe in that punk, that line that you shechted, there was a hole there from before. The odds of that happening are so unlikely.
So this is not rove that he was in Dreyfus.
It's better that, I mean, it's even better rove. It's even better rove. So comes the Gemara and says, Rav Ashi Yom, the fourth of Ramah Kerem, is Asim Shchidat. Diyam Rechamana Shchait Ve'achol, V'lein Chashem V'makam Nekav Kashachit, maybe there was a Nekav. The answer is we follow Rav. Amr Rav Ashi. Amr Yisla Shvaz Kanei de Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi used to learn by Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was older than him. Very often the Gemara says Rav Ashi would say over his chedushim to Rav Kahana. He wanted to get his input from Rav Kahana. The Amr Rav Kahana came to Rav Simi. There are some who say that it was Rav Kahana who said it over in front of Rav Simi. And the response was given. It's not such a good raya. V'duma echad efsher efsher hecht lo efsher lo efsher. Not a Raya Brura. Just because we follow Rove by the case of the Shechita, because it is impossible not to. It is impossible halachically to ever eat meat if you don't rely on Rove. How do you know that just because the halacha permits you to rely on Rove but it's impossible, how do you know the halacha permits you to rely on Rove but it's possible? Let's say the mashal, I shecht an animal, tachlis, do I have to check for holes in the stomach and holes in the intestine and holes in the brain or not? So how can you extrapolate and say, well, just as you don't have to be worried about a hole in the esophagus, so too you don't have to be worried about a hole in the stomach. Right? Hole in the esophagus lays breira. What do you do? It's the efshir. Hole in the stomach. Open up the animal. Take it with your hand in. Take a look. Put on a good light and go see whether it has a hole in the stomach. So you can extrapolate from Shechita. And the Gemara says, I'll prove to you that chiluk is a valid chiluk. That there's a difference in halacha between efshir versus lo efshir. The Eli Tema Hachi, the Rabbi Meir the Chayish the Miyuta Hachinam the Lachal Bisra. We know that Rabbi Meir was not so quick to run after Raif. How do we know that? We only have one place of record of Rabbi Meir saying that statement. What was that? By golly, what? Yevamos Kufiyutas. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Meir, Yevamos Kufiyutas, who didn't let the Saris and didn't let the Kadar Ektar of the Yibum, he was Chayish for Miyut. How did Rabbi Meir eat meat? So the Gemara turns the question on its head and says, if you think that the parasha from Shechita, the het of eating meat, is a raya bruya follow Rav, obviously Rabbi Meir didn't think there was a good raya. Wait. I never even heard of that phrase yet. I mean, I've heard of it, but we haven't heard of it. As a group, we haven't heard of it yet. Okay? A long way to go. So the Gemara, you have to read every line in the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to prove and say, wait a second. Hakadam locha bishra? Really? Ramey didn't eat meat? Really? V'chitei machinami? The Gemara is unrelentless. What does the Gemara say? Yeah. Who said? How do you know? You were invited for dinner for Rabbi Meir? Maybe his wife served fish. Brewery was the wife. Maybe she served tofu. How do you know he ate meat? Maybe Ramey Lishitosatak didn't eat meat. The Gemara says, that's ridiculous. What's ridiculous about it? Pays of a kachim aikle meimar. Obviously, Rabbi Meir ate korban. I mean, Rabbi Meir lived in the chor, but Rabbi Meir. The Torah says, "Rochus abos abalai lozay." You're allowed to eat Pesach. Kachim is mitzvah. Rochus also shakub. I'm supposed to eat kachim. It's mitzvah to eat kabanas. So Rabbi Meir says you can't eat Pesach and kachim either. So obviously, even in the worldview of Rabbi Meir, who's the biggest super duper machmer in this sugya, he has to buy into elohat. That svar, that chiluk of efshir versus low efshir is obviously a chiluk. So maybe we buy into that also. So what's the raya that you follow Rav? We're trying the point of the Gemara, the purpose of the Gemara in Chulun is to try to prove Do you allow to follow Rav even when you could avoid it? I could check the animal. I could check the stomach. I could check that. I could check the liver. I could. I'm not mechuyev to. And Rav Ashi wanted me to raya zetman from the parasha of Shechita that you can rely on Rav. He wants to zetman mish gornished. You see nothing from the parasha of Shechita. Because hech the efsher lo efsher, and the biggest proof positive that efsher versus lo efsher is a valid distinction in halacha licked within the view of Rabbi Meir. Because otherwise, if you don't accept that chiluk, you're going to be led to a conclusion that is impossible. If you want to tell Rabbi Meir didn't eat meat, that is checkmate. That is just wrong, dead wrong. Nobody can say such a silly thing. Rabbi Meir didn't eat meat. So the same way Rabbi Meir must have eaten meat. That must be a raya that there's a chilut in Efshir versus Lo Efshir, which undermines Rav Ashi's entire limud from the parasha of Shechita. At kind of Gemara. And so at this point, the Gemara Rashi falls back and says, okay, so what is the answer? Lachos Sidei or Isa Leis is all the same thing. Everyone read these five lines? This is loaded. This is a pretty, pretty serious discussion in the Gemara. That means the halacha tells us that there are different standards, even if you're not such a big fan of Rav, but at a certain point you have to rely on Rav, because otherwise you can never accomplish what you want to accomplish. Something like that. So that, everyone read this Gemara? Everyone digested this Gemara? If you were sitting in the yeshiva of Kahana or of Simi, someone, whoever was making these observations, so your goal is to prove, it's like the Havos on you, geometric proof. Your goal is to try to prove that there is such a distinction between Efshir versus Lo Efshir. Because by proving that distinction, you undermine Rav Ashi's raya to the existence of Rav. Right? That's the flow of the Gemara. That's the goal of the Gemara. Rav Ashi had this gevaldik chiddush before Rav Ashi. He was a young man. He comes from Rav Kahana, the old Rashiv, and he says, Rav Kahana, I found it. I discovered America. I discovered the Mokka for Rav. Nobody knew what Rav until 500 years. No one could figure it out. Nobody knew what the answer was. I discovered Mamish, the treasure. He was jumping for joy of Ashes that the Raya is of Pashas Re'eh. It's the combination of Pashas Re'eh and Pashas Mishpatim. It's Shechita with Treifas put together that teaches us as a din for Drive. Rav Kahana took the balloon, and what did he do to it? Poked a hole in his hole in the Vesha. He said, poked the balloon. The balloon's gone. Raya just went up like dust in the wind. You know why? Because there's a chiluk between Efshir versus Lo Efshir. And what's the proof positive that such a chiluk exists? You have to go run to Yevamos Kufites. You have to know Kol Tarkula. When Rav Ashi and Rav Kahana talked, they had Yevamos Kufites. It wasn't even written yet. Rav Ashi hadn't even written the Gemara yet. He was still a young man. Yevamos Kufites, he's got Chul and Dav Ches, he's got Yun Dabbe, he's got all the whole Kol Tarkula in front of him. And the proof positive was that Rabbi Meir must be a Mechalik between Efshir and Lo Efshir. And what was the proof? Because otherwise, if you're not Mechalik with Rabbi Meir, you're led to the absolute absurd, ridiculous, impossible conclusion, Rav Meir didn't eat meat. But remember, the Gemara didn't think that was impossible. The Gemara was okay with Rav Meir being a vegetarian. What could the Gemara not tolerate? Come on, it's Pesach and Kachim. So I read the Gemara, I'm exhausted, right? Just from reading the Gemara, just from trying to help cover every step of this proof, counterproof, unproof, kind of anti-proof. It's so complicated. Your mind's doing somersaults. Comes Tysus and says, I don't understand the Gemara's proof that Rabbi Meir must have eaten meat. Why do we have to run to Zvachim for? I think we're just saying Chulin. Of course Rabbi Meir ate meat. Rabbi Meir didn't eat meat. What are you, crazy? How do you know? Maybe Rabbi Meir was a vegetarian. What's the answer, says Tysus? But the Torah says you're allowed to eat meat. It's a parish and parish is rei called besat taiva. You're allowed to eat. It's ava nafsh chalecha bosa. Chal ava nafsh chalecha bosa. The Torah permits you to eat meat. The Torah says you can have a barbecue. The Torah says you can have a pastrami sandwich. The state and posse and parish is rei. You can have that eat meat. So why did the Gemara prove, according to Rabbi Meir, of course Rabbi Meir has to buy into the chiluk between Efshir versus Lo Efshir, or else he's against the entire parish and chumash? Why do we have to go run to brisk for? What do we need to go run to brisk and tell me there's Pesach, there's Kachim, there's Baisalach? Stick the chulin. Stick to speaking requirements. We're in a second school anyway. So Frek Tosa Kasha, we besar Taiva Lo Parach in the fifth of the Ramakamis. Tosa now makes a whole talk about this. I thought the Gemara had somersaults, and now Tosfos added another somersault to the sugya. Tosfos says, if the Gemara is imkvar askvar, already trying to prove the difference in Efshir versus low Efshir, why the run to Kachin? What was wrong with Chulin? So you know what Tosfos says? To answer that kasha, Tosfos says, Mishum denira de mederais l'chaysh or meilam yuto, elamid de rabbanim. You have to add a piece of information, says Tosfos. It's la'ola ladas, the Rabbi Meir denies Rov. It's la'ola ladas, that Rabbi Meir denies Rov, both Rubid Yisakamad and Rubid Laisakamad. When Rabbi Meir denies Rov, he's cheshish lemiyot and nivamis, an extension of all of the sugyas that quote Rabbi Meir, that means in the very limited. Remember we said there are three ways of understanding the Machlokes and the Rabbanan? Tosfos just opted for the easiest way out, the littlest, smallest, the almost irrelevant Machlokes. Rabbi Meir was only cheshish mid the Rabbanan. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. Once you add that piece of information in, even the Heiliger Rabbi Meir was only cheshish mid the Rabbanan, now the Gemara reads like a charm. Tosfos continues. The nearer the Bidirai is the cheshish mid the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. Lachi Parich. What does Tosfos say? That once he added on the fact that the Rabban, everything clears up. What would the kasha have been from Besar Taiva? What would the kasha have been? Hey, Rabbi Meir, the Hilig Rabbi Meir, you're going to tell me you can't eat meat? There's a pasuk chumash. You know what Rabbi Meir would say? Yep, there's a pasuk chumash, and you're still kidding me. You know why? It's a din derabbanan. I never said the post doesn't exist. It's a din derabbanan. This is like coming back to haunt us, right? I want you out of this picture for now. Don't confuse us. We're confused enough already, okay? So comes Tosfos and says that once we say that Rabbi Meir was only chumash derabbanan, that explains why Besar Taiva is not a riot. You're being a riot for post and chumash. Good morning. I'm talking derabbanan. You're talking deraisas. I'm talking shulchan aruch, and you're being a riot for Meishu Abeinu. So that's why the Gemara didn't want to be mitzach chayis to Besar Taiva. But kachim, the Gemara said, wait, what's happening? You're going to tell me that Rabbi Meir made a din de Rabbanan, you have to follow Meir, you have to be cheshed to Meir all the time. You're going to tell me that with the Rabbanan, Rabbi Meir didn't let people eat kachim, didn't let people eat Korban Pesach? How are you talking? Rabbi Meir is going to make a gzeir de Rabbanan not eat Korban Pesach? Really? Really? We're sitting around the Seder, the meat's coming, it's on the table, and Rabbi Meir says, nope, stop, you can't. You know why? Because cheshed to Meir. They're like, what? You can't eat the meat. You know why you can't eat meat? Because it could be when the sheikh had shechted this animal, it could be there was a hole in the esophagus before the shechit. Chasal see the Pesach Yuchos, the Pesach comes with it. No more Manishtan, no more Seder this year, no more Korban Pesach this year because the Chesach, come on, give me a break. So that was the Gemara's kasha. Pesach the Kutch make Lameima, Rabbi Meir is machlum with the Rabban, and therefore I can't bring a Raya from Besar Taiva. Oh, but from Korban Pesach I can. So in one fell swoop, Tosfos just told us to follow the Gemara. Tosfos told us the entire Rabbi Meir, lock, stock, and barrel, hakol, meat, kol, was only a chumrah midday rabbanan. Finished, end of discussion. And the proof of Tosfos, if you put the value of Tosfos into the court and ask them, what's the proof of that position of yours? Our proof is from the Gemara's kasha and from what the Gemara didn't ask. The Gemara had equally easily available kasha to ask from Besar Taiva or from Kachim, and the Gemara ran to Brisk and ran away from Chulin. Is that mean Fandor, Raya, Bruz, or Tosfos, that the whole Chumra is over there? If it would have been a derais in the Kashita, then Besar Taiva would suffice as a kasha. You see the way the Bali Tosfos looks. You see what the Bali Tosfos did. The Bali Tosfos didn't let any line of the Gemara go unnoticed. Every kasha was direct, was exact. And if Chazal formulated the kasha in a certain way and didn't formulate it in an easily way, Migo that could have asked a better kasha, there's a reason why they didn't ask the better kasha. Why Chazal didn't ask it. And the reason is, this is the reason why, says Tosfos. Because that piece of information that Rameh is only Chashish Bidirapa. Everyone read this Tosfos? Everyone saw the Tosfos? Come to Mordechai in Chulin in the 6th day of Mamakaimus. Mordechai was the Tamida for the Tamida of the Bali of Tosfos. The Talmud of Rabbi Ruttenberg is towards the end of the period of the Bali of Tosfos. So the Mordechai quotes a Rabbeinu Baruch. He's quoting a discussion that took place between Rabbeinu Meshulam and Rabbeinu Baruch, two of the Bali of Tosfos. Rabbeinu Baruch was the Sefer Truma. Peshim lor ben baruch. And he oibed the Ramea made the bittel beroy bechol duchta. Don't think Ramea denies bittel beroy. He denies all of chur. All of your day. No, no. Afagav, the iu chayish lemiut medaraisa. Even though Rabbi Meir is the chayish lemiut medaraisa. Ki the muchach perkam de chulin. I bring a raya. The kaamol Rabbi Meir the chayish lemiut. I mean in the brackets. Achinami de loch obisra. How could Rabbi Meir be chayish lemiut? That's ridiculous. We have to pay from kachim. If Tosis is right that the whole chumra was only a derabbanan chumra, what the Gemara should have said is very easily. No, you're right. That midrabbanan Rameir is choshish, and Itaka doesn't let you eat meat, but by basically kachim, you're not going to make a gezeira to not get a homer to their isa. Why don't you just say that easy chiluk and say, how can it be a raya from basically kachim? The answer is that the Gemara is looking at Rameir through the eyes of what? Of their isa. And therefore, if you're allowed to eat basically kachim, you're allowed to eat meat also. Imtum to learn me that the Valetais and Chumim were right, that the whole sheet of Ramea was a Chumim with the Rabbanim, then the Raya from Pesach and Kachim to regular meat is not a good Raya. The Gemara should have simply said, Taka mid the Raisa, we're not Choshesh, mid the Rabbanim, we are Choshesh, but Pesach and Kachim, we're not going to make the Gezerah. So for the fact that the Gemara jumped and compared Pesach back to Chulin, is a Raya, Brua, Shalom HaTshuva, that it's a Din with the Raisa. So notice that Tosfos and the Mordechai had their eyes on what? On the identical Gemara. And whereas Tosfos brought a raya, is that an unbelievable raya, brush and lachuva that it's only the Rabbanan? The Mordechai said no, Ben Abba said no, it's a din deraisa. You guys can choose. I don't want to mechu for you guys. I don't want to ruin it for you. So the Gemara in Chulam is inconclusive. So it goes down in record and history as a machlekes between Tosfos and Chulam against Ben Abba with the Mordechai and Chulam. About bottom line, Acharei Kletz Hakol, is Rabbi Meir Shita Deraisa concern or Derabanan concern? Great. This is all the background. This is just the yedda you need, the knowledge you need to be able to learn the base of a base properly. Who wants to read the Gemara? Let's read the Gemara together. Beis of a base of Maseches Gittin. Yes, the Gemara, according to Rabbah, who says that there's a chashash of a get rin, shalom l'shma. According to Rabbah, we should require two edim. The Gemara says, nah, you're not going to be suing. That's not going to work. You're right. The Gemara says, the answer is, rov biki and hain. Baruch Hashem, we have a rov. And therefore, what? Let's just fill in the words. We have a rov, and therefore, min haTorah, what? What's the next words? We have a rov, therefore, min haTorah. We don't really want. We don't really have a worry anyway. We don't have a problem anyway. The whole problem is only mid the Rabbanon. So they made up the problem mid the Rabbanon, and therefore they made up the solution mid the Rabbanon. So it's clear as day for the Gemara that problems deraisa require solutions deraisa. Problems Rabbanon suffice with solutions mid the Rabbanon. But then the Gemara asks the next line. Rafil Rabbi Meir the Chayish Miyute Gavalt. What's in those words? It's 5-6 words. Tafilu, the Rabbi Meir, the Chashmid, 5 words. What did the Gemara commit itself in those 5 words? That according to Rabbi Meir, we still have a problem. That's what the Gemara is saying. Tafilu, Rabbi Meir, we still have a problem according to Rabbi Meir. And we have to come to a new answer. We have no idea what the new answer is, and we're not going to find it out till tomorrow, till Sunday earliest. I don't want a solution, I want a problem first. Tafilu, the Rabbi Meir, the Chayish, the Miyuta. The Gemara is about to lose some sleep. The Gemara is sweating. The Maram is sweating now. Because the answer that we just gave, Rov B'Kiyanein, only works according to the Rabbanan, doesn't work according to Rabbi Meir. And we need a new answer according to Rabbi Meir. New wheels are turning, everybody say. What are the wheels turning? If what? If who's right? If Tosfos is right, that Rabbi Meir never was Machmir Midaraisa. Rabbi Meir's entire Chumma was only Chumma Midarabbanan. Hakobi Lakstakamab was only the Rabbanan. Yevamus was only the Rabbanan. The original case of Rabbi Meir was a Chumah mid Rabbanan. Because in his heart and soul, Rabbi Meir believes that Acharei Matos carries over to even with the Lasik amongst. So what's the Gemara's kasha for Rabbi Meir, the Chash, the Miyuta? What should the Gemara immediately have said? Moshe should have blown that kasha out of the water in 1 second by saying what? According to Tosfos. It's only Derabbanan. It's like the Derabbanan. Problems Derabbanan, suffice it, solutions Derabbanan. If the whole concern of the kashas this get is only a chashash and a level of Derabbanan, so before Nechah can deal with that. Erecha can deal with that. We have no qualms, we have no hesitation that Erecha solving problems Derabbanan. The entire first six blind getting are an Erecha solving a problem Derabbanan. The only reason why the Gemara got into trouble and started to shake and sweat about Rafim Rabbi Meir is because the Gemara thought we have a deraisidic problem on our hands. If there's a deraisidic problem, then we need a deraisidic solution. That's what the second solution is, which we don't understand, but we're not going to understand it until Sunday at least. But I don't want solutions, I just want problem. Today is a problem day, not a solution day. What was the problem for the Rabbi Meir? So which Rishon is sitting, which two Rishon are sitting in the corner and saying, I told you so. Mordechai Rebbe Baruch said, I told you it's a derais, I told you it's not a nishad derabanan. So believe it or not, we have a sugi nivamas kufiyates, machlokes Rebbe Meir and derabanan. Talked away in the backwoods, in the back forest of the nivamas that no one's been there, hundreds of years. Almost no one. We have talked away machlokes Rebbe Meir and derabanan. We have a sugi chulin that's trying to invoke Rebbe Meir as a potential raya to the authenticity of the distinction between Efshar versus Lo Efshar in our discussion of the source for Rov of Ruben Delay Sikhama. And we have branched out of Machlekes Taisa Rabbeinu Baruch about what that Gemara does or doesn't say about Rabbi Meir's sheet in general. And the Gemara that we're going to bring a raya from is Nishtin Yivamas, Nishtin Chulin. It has nothing to do with Yibum, nothing to do with islandnesses, nothing to do with Kachim, nothing to do with Taisach, nothing to do with Chul, nothing to do with Shechit, nothing to do with Treifis. It has to do with a one-half baked line that got tucked away in the second line at the bottom of Beis and Beis. No, is that obvious? This is where the secret to Rabbeinu Baruch and the Tosfos lie. This is the lie. So what's Pshat? What's Pshat and Tosfos? Tosfos forgot this line. Tosfos didn't forget this line. What is it about days of amazing Gittin that must be a deraisidic problem? There's no other way to read this Gemara Pashas. And yet Tosfos is still sticking to the gun and saying, oh, don't worry about it. It's only Derabbanan, don't worry about it. Ramei is a Derabbanan person. If Ramei is a Derabbanan person, how did Gittin Da Beis become a Deraisa? What exists in Gittin Da Beis and Rabeis that doesn't exist in Yevamos Kufiyates, doesn't exist in Chul and Afyud? There is a missing piece of this puzzle here. This is not the identical Chashin Miyuta that we are familiar with. There is something unique that's playing out here that we don't know about. Anyone want to take a guess before we stop? Is there something here that we should know about? Is this just a plain and simple miyut, no miyut, yeah miyut, no miyut, rov, no rov? Is there any other halakhic fact that's on the table here in Ginda, Beis and Rebeis? Let's not forget, this woman has a what? She's got a bad word. She's got a cheskes isser. She's with the HDS for 20 years. So this Gemara is going to open up a whole new world for us called Smoke Yitla Chazaka. So we can't start that world yet. We have to put something on hold for Sunday. Okay, I'm sorry about the time. Everyone got the message. We get started early today. So we have to put this on hold for now. Smoke Yitla Chazaka. And hopefully Hashem guys get ahead of me in the Maracom. On Sunday, we're going to come back to Gittin Da Beis and go back to Yevamos Kufiyates and look at Gittin Da Beis in a totally new set of eyes. Okay? Let's show me. Okay. All right. Rabbi Sivadar Minchu, those who can stay for Minchu, make sure we're here.